God is up to something. Is he up to something with you? Amen. I want to talk about living attractional. I want to talk about being attractive to the Holy Spirit. I really believe that this is a, that there's a shift. I really believe there's a shift, and we've entered into an attractional season in the Spirit. We've entered into a shift in the Spirit and a time where we want to be just cognizant of attracting his presence, because there's a richness that is increasing on the church. Large C. Everybody say church. That's not little C, New Horizon Church. It's the church, the called out, the ecclesia, the people of God, those called and set apart, sanctified by his name. Amen? I actually want to start with a post that Johnny Enlow put up, and I want to read some of this post because I really believe that this is apropos. It's funny, we had a worship night during the Daniel Fast. We had a Friday night worship night. It wasn't largely attended, but I kept thinking it's not about the numbers. And we all have to remember this, is that our worship is for the audience of one. Actually, three. But three and one. Our worship is for an audience of one. And so, you know, no matter what end we are, what side of the platform we're on, either the north or the south side of the platform, it's not about how many are here. It's about that we're here. It's about that you're here, that you're here, wherever here is, right? Wherever here is. So you can make your car a place of holy ground or holy wheels. I guess then you'd be a holy roller. But it was during that worship night that I had this, it was during that worship night that I had this impression of the presence of the Lord, and his eyes were fire. And I've been talking to the Holy Spirit about that ever since. And I'm getting this clarity as we progress from that event to today. I'm getting this ongoing clarity that his eyes of fire are his eyes of love. And that's just a cool thing. It's just lighting me up, his eyes of love. This is what Johnny Enlow wrote recently, and I do respect him in the prophetic realm. Last night while at worship at Higher Vision Church here in Valencia, California, I had an amazing vision. I first saw an immense blue wave coming in, and I instantly heard that it was 50 feet, a 50-foot wave. I then saw a figure in yellow that was surfing and coming in on that wave. I knew instantly it was the Lord. And as I looked to his face, I saw eyes of burning fire. I knew the fire in his eyes was love. The Lord was within the coming wave, but I was then able to see the crest of the wave itself. Myriads and myriads of angels were coming on the wave. I then saw the wave crash onto Los Angeles, and I knew something was about to change with this invasion as the blue water crashed in and seemed to go everywhere. I believe a massive wave of the Holy Spirit is about to break out upon us. Blue is the color of revelation and also represents the work of the Holy Spirit. 50 is the number of Jubilee, by the way, of which we're in that year. I added that part. You're living in a Jubilee year. How could you be bored? How could you be tame? How could you be mellow? If you knew your Jewish roots, like, this is the most amazing year there is. This is the year of rest. This is the year where all debts are canceled. Yes. I mean, this is like, hello? Anybody got a debt in here? What would you do if God canceled it? This is the year of Jubilee. This is a crazy, crazy, wonderful year that we're living in. Pentecost was also 50 days after Passover, and that's no accident. I added that part. And so this number is connected to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and to the Jubilee. I believe something very powerful is about to come upon us, and the first part of it is upon us now. Now, Johnny's ears are bigger than mine. What I mean is he's bigger, he's more connected in the kingdom than I am. And this is what he says, and it's true, and we're beginning to hear it from Brian, who traveled, who spent $80,000 on airfare last year. So he's traveled a bunch, just say traveled a bunch. That's a lot of travel. And we're beginning to hear it, but we're also beginning to see it and feel it and sense the ripples of it. He says that this wave is already beginning to splash on us as prophetic revelation, visions, dreams, and encounters, and those things have already skyrocketed since January 1 of 2016. Since the turn of the year, they've already skyrocketed, and many prophetic friends have seen an increased uptick in what they're seeing and experiencing in the Lord already this year. It's true. It's happening. We're living in an amazing, and yet we have to realize that we're supposed to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Everybody say from glory to glory. Amen. Want more? We want more, Lord. Furthermore, early reports of extended meetings are coming in from several sources as healing, presence, and glory are being reported. An appetite for prayer and unity is coming in with this wave. People are being led to fast forward what is coming in, both for them and corporately. Revelation and creativity is about to hit prophets, intercessors, and the creatives. The most anointed songs in history are about to come out in this next season as this wave is hitting worshipers and songwriters and musicians, and we will see its evidence in the songs developed at this time. Everything prophetic is about to go to a higher, unprecedented level. I saw a snap vision of a multitude of eagles flying with purpose, and I heard that we have the largest contingent of prophets ever on the planet, and they're now being released into the streets of our cities as prophets of love and power. These are not just for revival, but they are for reformation. They will go into every mountain of society. The heart to pray, unite, and fast and love that we couldn't drum up or work up, I added that part, is now going to be poured out upon us. He has made a decision that in this year of Jubilee, he would visit his people in a special way and that he would punish the enemy in a special way. Johnny says, I agree with Bill Hammond. By the way, Bill Hammond, we saw Bill Hammond preach 3 years ago at HROC at our conference, maybe 2 years ago. He was 80 or 82 when he preached and literally lit the room on fire. Are you familiar with Apostle Bill Hammond? If you aren't, you need to get familiar. Fact is, a great book for you to read would be a book that he wrote. What is the name of it? Do you care for the name? How many of you care for the name of the book? Two of you. Let's go back to Matthew 11:12. The kingdom is advancing by those who... Yes. Do you care about this book that Bill Hammond wrote? Okay, so read the blog. I'll post it on the blog because it is it's a great book, and I think you should read it. And it's about the end time people of God and what they look like and what God's up to and how they live. And I think you would love it. I just think you would love it. Anyway, this is what Bill Hammond is saying over this year. He says that God has declared World War III on the enemy, and that we are going to have a kingdom romp for possibly the next 50 years. That there's a lot of ground to take, and it's going to happen in God, and it's going to be God moving the kingdom front and center on world stages. And we are going to be set on fire by the fire in his eyes. You believe it this morning? My microphone's making a lot of noise, but I'm going to try to clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come on, come on. That's too much apathy. That's too much apathy. Thank you, Lord. I know some of you Bronco or Panther fans are going to get more excited. Oh, there aren't any in the room. You're all Seahawk fans? Peradventure that the Seahawks didn't make it, you have to choose somebody, right? So I don't know. Now, they're both confessed believers, so don't be pulling the... And they're both races we love, so don't be pulling the racial card. Don't be pulling the Christian card. You just got to decide who you're going to root for today. I thought you were all going to shout Jesus at the same time, but you missed it. You totally missed your cue. On the count of three, one. On the count of three, one, two, three. Yeah, he's going to win today. Amen. No matter which team or no matter which quarterback prevails, Jesus will be glorified because they're both going to give the glory to God. This is God moving even Christianity to front stage in sports and athletics. God's doing this. What you see in sports and athletics is going to be happening in Hollywood, and it's going to be happening everywhere in the globe and everywhere in our nation. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Amen? So living attractional, because I don't want to miss this. Now, I have missed moves of God before. I don't want to miss this one. Have you ever missed a move of God before? I totally missed the Jesus people. I was hunkered down in a denominational circle that didn't see the Jesus people come. And they totally missed it. Did you know you can get hunkered down in, I've never seen it, God do it that way before? The seven last words of a dying church. The seven last words of a dying church are, I've never seen God do it that way before, you know? We can get hunkered down in a denominational or a sectarian. Now, we don't belong to a denomination, but we're still sectarian. We still have our little routines and our little rituals and our little group that we hang with, our little spiritual clique. You can be so, who is it that puts their head in the sand? Okay, we can be so ostracized. We can be so head in the sand that we miss what God's up to. We miss a day of visitation. That's actually a scripture that you don't miss the day of visitation. I was thinking this morning, though I would have had to weave it just in an appropriate fashion out of Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. 5 stayed alert, 5 kept their oil filled up. 5 kept their wicks trimmed. 5 were ready for God to do something. And so when the groom came, who's coming? It's the groom. Who are we? We're the bride. This is a love affair. I'm telling you, God is showing up in love. The Holy Spirit is showing up with the love of Jesus in our lives and in the church, and we need his love to wreck us. And if you didn't get Saturday night. If you didn't get Saturday night's message from Brian, you need to get it. You need to get his message on the love. Fact is, I'm thinking, he's coming back next May, and I told him, I want him to do something on love, like a love fest. Let's have a love fest. Psychedelic shirts, beads, and we're all going to smoke Jesus. Just going to have a love fest. Anyway, get his message on the sacred romance and get his message on love because it's so good. He's one of the... But I want you to see that we can miss a day of visitation. We don't want to miss our day of visitation. Come on, say it with me. I don't want to miss it. There was an outpouring that happened in Toronto, And John and Carol are not. We're a part of that. Randy Clark, we're a part of that. These are our friends now, people that we love, but we missed that visitation. We missed that. Again, we were hunkered down, Joel and I, we were hunkered down in what we were doing and just hunkered down in the trees and the forest that we were wrapped up in, and we missed that visitation. And so as God began, and I'm saying that because as God is doing something fresh and something new, we go from faith to faith. That is, we go from word expression, God's expressing himself prophetically, and he's expressing himself in the prophets, and he's announcing something which leads us into a faith and which leads us into the next glory. And we don't want to miss that. Amen? So I'm thinking about, I want us to be attractional. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to be attractional. And he's given me a few thoughts on this, and one of them, I believe that is significant, is that we begin to posture ourselves with thanksgiving. I know that whenever you are setting out to be attractional, and some of you did that at one time, yes? Like in a relationship with the opposite sex. Whenever you set yourself out to be attractional, then you reposture, you reengage, you examine, and you begin to maybe even make some adjustments, right? And so no burping allowed. Trim your hair a little better. Maybe shave. Michael, I forgot to tell you. Michael? I sent him some Walmart shopping pictures this morning. Be careful what you wear to Walmart because someone's walking around taking pictures. And so if you go to Walmart pajamas or Walmart shopping at Walmart in pajamas, there's a lot of stuff, Google images right there, and there's some stuff you don't want to see. But anyway, it's bad what people wear to Walmart. Anyway, I'm just thinking that most of us, when we set out to be more attractive, it wouldn't be what we'd wear to Walmart. I want you to see that. But just go there with me, with your imagination. It happened to me yesterday. I went and got oil and filters for the Jeeps, and on my way out, there she was. The husband was in normal clothes. The wife was in, yeah, I'm assuming it was the wife. I don't know. Whatever it was in something fluffy, flannely, and not attractive whatsoever. So we shower up, we clean up, we shine our shoes, we literally purpose to be attractional. We put on something. There's a lot of scriptures actually about putting on, about clothing ourselves with something. And I'm thinking this is part of how I want to live in this season. I want to purpose to be attractional. I want to purpose to draw him near. I want to purpose with all that is within me. And I think this realm of gratitude and thanksgiving is one of the major keys. Thanksgiving draws him near. How many of you know that? Thanksgiving draws him near. Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Psalm 100 and verse 3, know that the Lord, he himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Posturing ourselves with thanksgiving. I think there's three ways to approach life. We can approach life critical, judgmental, the opposite of thankful. Yes? We can approach life silently. Good things happen, silence. Blessings happen, silence. Good things going on, silence. Challenges going on, silence. Things not so good, silence. That's a rare one right there. That's a rare one. Right? I mean, it's kind of like hot or cold. I don't know too many people who are silent all of the time. Usually, if you're silent in the bad, you're silent in the good. Usually, if you're critical and judgmental, usually you're not silent at any time. But three approaches. And I want to mess with you because I want to somehow take you beyond what we have as religious expression, because we can quote Hebrews 12:28, we can quote Psalm 100 verse 4, we will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We'll enter his courts with praise. We can quote those things, but then sometimes we need to remove that out of a religious atmosphere and superimpose it on the practical way that we live. And because I think it's actually possible for some of us to come in that door and put on something that we didn't have until we got in this room. And I think what draws Father near is not just the pretense we put on for 30 minutes, hello? I mean, when Donald starts playing that keyboard, and the keyboard's working, hello, where's Donald? Donald? When Donald starts playing that keyboard and that keyboard is working, any fool can praise the Lord, right? I mean, it's just real easy there. I mean, just some of us can even prophesy right there. It's like David playing the harp over Saul. Saul's lost the anointing. Saul's tormented. He's vexed in his spirit. But as soon as the anointed minstrel starts playing, whoo, that stuff all lifts, and all at once we got a happy heart. All at once we can prophesy. And what God is looking for, what I really believe what will draw him near, and what I believe the Holy Spirit is coaching us into, because he wants to coach us into being attractional so that what is coming does rest upon us. I believe what will really help us is that we allow a shift to take place within us. Everybody say, allow a shift. Allow a shift. Say, allow a shift. Wherein this thanksgiving and this attitude of gratitude and this inner effervescence of thankfulness reaches deep within us, and we pack it out those doors even when the minstrels aren't playing, even when the keyboard is not struck, even when David's harp is not finding its full expression. We're able to find a song within, and we're able to bring an expression of thanksgiving out of the song that gave David his song, because that song giver dwells on the inside of us. That was worth an applause right there. Come on. Who gave David the song? Who put the song of the harp within him? The very one who now dwells in you gave David the song. He put the song within him. There's a song within you, and that song will bring expression to thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving will draw him near. And the Holy Spirit, who's coaching you into coming into the fullness of all that Jesus has for you, that same Holy Spirit will go out those doors with you just as sure as he'll come in and be ready when the keyboard lights up. Amen? Come on, say more song, Lord. Say more song, Lord. No, I mean it. I mean it. Put your hands up and say more. More of your song, Jesus. More of your song within me, Jesus. You who gave David the song. You who wrote the Psalms. You who struck the harp. You who strummed every single chord and brought the melodies and the harmonies of the harp within David. Holy Spirit, I invite you to bring that song of thanksgiving inside of me. Are you praying with me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is what we want. That's what we want. We want hearts of thanksgiving. Hearts of thanksgiving. The thankful heart is the most attractive. It's the most warming. It's the most drawing. The fact is, I was thinking, James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How do we draw near to God? Repentance, yes. Sometimes humility, yes. There's other things that we could talk about. But say that we're living in the state of repentance. Say we're living in the state of obedience or in the state of conformity or in the state of humility. Then how do we draw God near? The fruit of our lips. Thanksgiving is a verb and an expression. Thanksgiving is an expression. It's an expression. This is how we draw near. We draw near to God, and what happens? He will draw near to us. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And so even if we're living in a state of obedience, a state of humility, a state of repentance, a state of we're in the Word, but if we are silent, then we're missing one of the most powerful elements to draw God near to us. He sees your heart even, but what He's drawn to is the sacrifice of the fruit of your lips. Your lips. Hebrews 13:15. It's the sacrifice of your lips that He's drawn to. He's drawn, and the sacrifice of your lips releases a fragrance around you. That's how you can shift the atmosphere. You want to shift the atmosphere wherever you go? You become the thankful person. You become the thankful voice. You become the thankful expression. Wherever there's thanksgiving, a fragrance is released, and where the fragrance is released, the atmosphere is shifted. Think about your own children. When they're thankful, doesn't it make you want to be around them? When they're unthankful, when they're critical, when they are caustic, when they are judgmental, when they are negative, don't you want them to go to their room? Not to hang with you. You're not going there with them. The door will be closed. You can go in there and think for a while. When you're done thinking, let me know and we'll have a talk. Doesn't work that way at your house? Worked that way at my house. But what if they say thanks for the dinner? Yeah, but the dinner was fine. The dinner was fine. I really don't need to say thanks for the dinner. The dinner was fine. I think I would rather just be silent. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to be caustic. The dinner was fine. I mean, this is what moms do. They serve dinner. This is what dads do. They serve dinner. I mean, all they did was what they're supposed to do. But what will draw you near to their heart, what will draw you near to them is thank you for the dinner. Yes? Thanks for the clothing. Yeah, but this is what moms and dads do. Mom and dads provide clothing. The clothing's all right. It's fair. It's good. It's decent. It's okay. I mean, I really don't need to go on and on about thanks for the clothing. Oh, but what will Thanksgiving do? It will draw you near. It may even conjure up within you a desire to bless them with more clothing. Right? But an ungrateful heart, an unthankful heart, or a silent heart by which you have to somehow try to figure out what they're thinking, somehow you have to interpret what they're thinking, somehow you have to deduce what it is that they're thinking because they're silent, that will not draw you out. It will not draw you near. It's the thankful heart that will draw you near. Thanks for the ride. Thanks for the allowance. It will make you want to bless them. It will cause you to be drawn to them. When we're thankful, it draws Father to us. What about the opposite? What about complaining? What about complaining? Complaining is like a septic system. Complaining is a stench in God's nostrils. Complaining. Now, it's easy to find ways to complain, right? Thanksgiving is most challenged in flawed or faulty circumstances. Well, that's most your life. It's most of my life. Anybody ever dwell in the midst of flawed or faulty circumstances? Anybody? Six of you, the rest of you had perfect lives. You were in Kona with me this week or something. Most of us dwell in the midst of flawed or faulty circumstances, and this is where Thanksgiving is mostly challenged. And so Thanksgiving is actually, it's like mining for gold in a riverbed that was already... Yeah, what do they call it? Whatever, mind out. Okay, good. That's good. I mean, this is looking for a pearl in a field. This is like Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, by the way, Thanksgiving is engaged in circumstantial environments. It's meant to be built around circumstance. But Thanksgiving, in the midst of flawed and faulty circumstances of which we dwell in, Thanksgiving means that you purpose to look for the silver lining in the cloud. You have to purpose to look for the pearl. You have to purpose to look for the good. If you don't look for it, you won't find it. If you don't find it, you can't be thankful. If you aren't thankful, you don't emit the fragrance. If you don't emit the fragrance, you don't draw him near. And so you have to turn your heart to be a treasure hunter instead of a junk announcer. Purposing to resist complaint, judgment, and criticism. Complaint and criticism is often close to our hearts and close to our tongues because we see all that fails to hit our expectations, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations. So it's in that moment that we have to make a choice. Everybody say, make a choice. Will we bless or complain? Will we be thankful or will we be critical? In practical ways with humanity, the eggs could have been a little less runny. The eggs could have been a little more runny. The steak, I like it a little more pink in the middle. The car, well, it's not really much of anything. The teacher could have been more clear, the restaurant on time, the line not so long, the traffic was terrible, the music, not so loud. It's a little too loud for me. On a spiritual level, I really hoped God would just meet us today. I don't know, I think the songs got cut short a little bit too early. Her skirt just distracted me from worship. I couldn't even worship. I think the sound messed up the whole service. I don't think the Spirit moved at all. That book didn't do a thing for me. Not a thing. The heat, that was way too hot. The cold was way too cold. It's your heart, even on a spiritual level, no matter what you think, it's finding the silver lining in the midst of clouds. It's finding the silver lining. It's finding the pearl. It's finding the gold. It's finding the nugget in the midst of whatever was happening that maybe you noticed was flawed or imperfect or fell short or just wasn't there. And then it's taking that which is good and bringing that up out of your heart and putting that on your lips. And when you put that on your lips, it brings forth a sacrifice, an aroma, a sweet aroma that Father is pleased with, and it draws him near. Regardless if it's practical or if it's spiritual, that sacrifice will draw him near. One hallelujah. It's good. I might be in the right church with the right people. When we win the war with our words, we have won a war that brings Father near. Your words are the spiritual fragrance or odor of your life. Listen to Ephesians 5:2. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. A sacrifice is a fragrant offering. Hebrews 13:15 says, the sacrifice of your thanksgiving is a fragrant offering. These things are fragrant. You know where do we get fragrances from? Look up perfume. Look up fragrance, and you'll find that where we get the foundation, there's three levels of fragrance, some that emits quickly, some that emits slowly. There's the musk, the oils that, and they mix the three of these things that evaporate quick, that evaporate slow. They mix these three things together out of the elements of those things that are of the earth realm. Lavender. Sweet things, they mix them together so that you've got a quick bloom and you've got a lasting musk. You've got these wonderful smells. Our words are like that. Our words are either a fragrance or they're a caustic odor. Amen. Amen. Recently, we had to work on a septic tank, two septic tanks, so I took Sterling with me. So we had to put extensions on these septic tanks, so we had to, because they're down in the ground. If we have to dig them up again, it costs a lot of money. So I thought, well, I'll put risers on these things. So I put risers on the septic tanks. So that means we had to open the lids. Isn't it weird? Isn't it strange? Isn't it awesome that God put a sweet smell on things that we are to be attracted to, and then he put a bad smell on things we're supposed to stay away from? A bad smell on bad things means run from this. Don't touch this. Don't get this on you. Don't eat here. It's there on purpose. It's like pain. You know, when you keep hitting yourself and pain comes, it's like, stop doing that, please. Pain is your friend. It will keep you from bonking yourself against it. I need the praise team to come. We need to close. But I want you to go here with me in your mind as they're coming and we're trying to close. I want you to go here with me in your mind is that our words are like that. Our words create either this wonderful fragrance, and God, as he's searching to and fro, where he's going to bring glory, where he's going to rest and bring a resting place, if our words are caustic and critical and negative, if we're just magnifying the flaws and the failures and the difficulties, it creates a stench, and he runs from that. He doesn't want to be that. But if our words are thanksgiving, even in the midst of a flawed world, even in the midst of difficulty. So we have to tame the tongue. We have to submit the tongue to the Holy Spirit. James chapter 3 says the tongue is a wild thing, right? It is a deadly poison, a deadly evil. No man can tame it. That's why we yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to the leading of the Spirit. Come on, stand with me this morning. I want you to just stand, just begin to, again, just welcome the shift in your own heart. And the shift in your own heart comes all the way up to your lips and it comes to your mouth. James says, how can it be that we come into church and bless God, but we curse people? Can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same well? He says, no, and it should not be this way with us. In other words, your horizontal relationships do have a lot to do with your vertical. And as God is moving in our hearts and as we're embracing a holy shift within us, that holy shift is not just affecting the way we relate to God, but it's affecting the way we relate to one another. We're going to look for the good. We're going to be thankful people. We're going to look for the silver in every cloud. We're going to look for the gold nugget in a river that's already been mined. We're going to look for a pearl in the midst of a field where it looks impossible to find it, but we're going to find it. And we're going to talk good, and we're going to talk sweet, and we're going to release a fragrance, not just a fragrance in the house, in the four walls, in the temple, in the church, in Zion, but we're going to take this thing out of us, because he who gave David the song lives within us. He who struck every chord on that harp dwells within us. He who produced every melody and every harmony of a song of thanksgiving within David's heart, and he brought that song to Saul, and that song changed the atmosphere. He dwells in us, and he changes the atmospheres around us. And he will shift. He lives to shift atmospheres within us and about us. Would you lift your hands all across the auditorium this morning? I do want some of the prayer team members to come and prepare to pray just as we close this morning. If you have, just as we close, something within you where you just are making a transition. You're welcoming transformation. You're embracing the work of the Spirit. But for all of you, hands up this morning, I want you to welcome the shift. Say it with me. Father, I welcome right now the grace to do what I couldn't do, the grace to see what I couldn't see, the grace of thanksgiving beyond what I've ever experienced before, the grace of appreciation, the grace of gratitude, the grace to find the silver lining in the cloud. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do this on the inside of me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you, church.